All right, here we go.
The top five at five on the Rokan Show, brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Home improvement at true outlet prices of 40 to 60% off.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Checking in at
number five.
House Speaker Paul Ryan commenting on his meeting with Donald Trump.
Look, it's no secret that Donald Trump and I have had our differences. We talked about those differences today. That's common knowledge. The question is, what is that we need to do to unify the Republican Party and all strains of conservative wings in the party? I don't want us to have a fake unification process here. I want to make sure that we really truly understand each other and that we are committed to the conservative principles that make the Republican Party, that built this country. I was very encouraged with this meeting, but this is a process. It takes a little time. You don't put it together in 45 minutes.
So, in other words, still no endorsement of Trump, but we're on the path of progress. And Reince Priebus says it's now in their hands, basically. The process has started, and we'll see how it unravels.
I think when Paul Ryan is a pretty smart guy, looks at Donald Trump, he sees a guy who's a major Democratic Party donor, right? Had the Clintons to his wedding. Mm-hmm. A guy who gave very, very generously. He was a bundler of sorts for Democrats. He was a guy who gamed the system and then realized that he could use his rhetorical flourish to win over the hearts and minds of people who aren't going to be are more interested in the emotion than the detail. And he's found both Republicans and Democrats who are willing to follow along on that. And Paul Ryan, who's like the ultimate in policy wonk, mm-hmm. and tactician on the Hill, is a guy that now is looking at him like, oh, how did this guy show up here? Why is he at my doorstep?
But at the end of the day, how does he not endorse Trump? He's already said he absolutely has to do everything in his power to defeat Hillary. And if Trump becomes your nominee at the convention or at some point before or after that, don't you think he has to get on board?
No, because because Trump is still very capable of saying or doing something that will make him unelectable, or at least somebody that and sometimes this isn't even about a single election. It's about, do you really want to be a part of this person in history? Right. I mean, there have been people in the past that and they've never gotten to the finals, though, which is kind of interesting. But there have been people in the past, whether it's George Wallace in 1972 mm-hmm. or, you know, others who ran campaigns that were so totally out of the mainstream of American thought. And based not on on the best principles of politics or human nature, and that's neither in the case of Trump. And I think there are going to be some Republicans of goodwill who are going to stop and go, I just can't be a part of this. I just won't be a part of this. And I know that this is my mm-hmm. my party's standard bearer, but there are some things that are just more important. And we'll see how high that goes. I've seen a bunch of congressional people already saying, senators say no, they won't do it. People who are racing, in tight races. Mark Kirk doesn't want to jump in back in, on the Trump bandwagon.
No, he says he's not going to the convention. So does Senator McCain.
Right.
Both seem in tight races, as you say, in their respective states.
All right. Checking in at
number three.
No, that Orion.
Number four.
Orion,
there you go. That's
wrong.
Better.
We did.
I'm going to totally blame Orion for that. Even though I pressed the wrong button. Orion, please!
That's how it goes.
Yeah, there you go. We're overworking him anyways. You know, he's up real early in the morning on the Cochrane Show, and he's got to, that's too much. Southside teacher is out of a job after cursing at a student. Joanne Finley says it's not the first time that a student has harassed her to prologue Winnie Mandela Alternate School. She says the student ignored her instructions and kept cursing at her. The incident was caught on cell phone video, unfortunately.
Stupid, dumb, you ain't never gonna be, you dumb.
Oh,
no, I ain't never.
Oh,
no.
Don't even know.
Boy.
Sounds like a Trump rally. She says she went to the school disciplinarian twice about the kid that day, and no one addressed the issue.
Yes, we're dealing with the really, really bad kids. You know, like the, this is their last stop. You know, you've been put out of this school, that school, and now this is your last stop. It was like 10 minutes of him doing his own thing and saying what he wanted to say to me. And
calling
all this,
you names,
and I took
cussing
that.
At you.
Cussing at me and calling me names. Yes, he was calling me stuff like ugly, old, shut the up, I ain't doing this, that. You know, he was saying all of that. So I'm just glad that the little boy didn't decide that he wanted to hit me or anything. You know what I'm saying? Because then if I had defended myself, then what?
You just feel for that teacher because, okay, this one kid's issues aside and obviously has them. How do you teach that class with that kid in that class? How does that whole class get an education? All of those other kids who want to learn if that guy's in your class.
Well, here's what the other kid said.
Thanks. Do you think she was in the wrong?
Well, yes, I do 100% believe she was in the wrong because no matter what, you don't tell a student, so you're not going to be nothing in life.
Right? So you were in class yesterday?
Yep, yep.
Do you think that he was being disrespectful at all?
Nah, not from what I've seen.
Oh, I guess at that school, that's okay. Because in any school I went to, when I went to the Chicago Public Schools, that was not okay. And you had discipline cases. And when you do, and you know who those kids are in that class, you feel for the teacher that's got to be full-time disciplinarian, full-time teacher, and deal with all of the issues in that child's life. But they're distracting the other kids from learning. It's like, how does that work? How do you do that?
It is an intractable situation. You're right. I mean, but you got to take control. And again, these are kids that are in their last.
How do you take control?
Well, I mean, they pointed out. I mean, these are kids that are in their last chance school anyway.
I know. And right? It's so sad. Ugh,
what do you do? All right. And a lot of that, you know, a lot of this stems from chemical issues with the kids, too. Right. I mean, there's, you know, there's home life, but there's also kids who are, you know, suffering from you know, chemical imbalance. And that's not being addressed. There's a lot of things that are happening here that are not being addressed. So.
Oh, sorry. Are you waiting for me?
Again. Pause brought to you by Judy Pilak.
She's not even there right now. She's taking a bathroom break. She cannot defend herself. This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot, check out the Best of the West. The West Burbs, that is. Tune in to Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, checking in at
number 3.
As the top 5 continues. All right, CNN host Carol Costello really does not miss Jon Stewart's tenure at The Daily Show. While on Sirius XM's The Inside Hour, she thought he unfairly criticized her and the network.
He cherry picks, right? It's easy to cherry pick, and then you slam somebody, and it's great. And sometimes we deserve it, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes I deserve it, but oftentimes I really don't. And I will say this about Jon Stewart. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go to congressional hearings and sit through them for 5 hours like our correspondents do. He doesn't do that.
Absolutely.
He just takes our work and makes fun of it. So sometimes I find myself saying, screw you, Jon Stewart.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You know, he's somewhat of an equal opportunity criticizer, though. I didn't ever see him as a is he a cherry picker? Because he would criticize both Republicans. He's a liberal, yes, but he would criticize both sides of the aisle.
I don't know. I all I know is that Carol Costello always looks like she's going to cry during every single news story. Like, she's got that sort of thing in her face. There's a little tremble in her voice, whether it's a happy story or a sad story or a tough story, whatever it is. It's a little bit like this.
I know. You know, we had David Axelrod on yesterday, and if you remember, he said he talked about the man-baby thing that came from his interview with Jon Stewart. But if you go back and watch the entire thing, which he suggested you do, and last night I did, he does take shots at Hillary Clinton, too, in that interview. So it's interesting.
Checking in at
number 2.
South Carolina barber spent a night in jail after he was accused of pulling a gun on a black customer and saying he doesn't do black hair.
What?
Larry Thomas of Rock Hill, South Carolina, arrested and charged with pointing and presenting a firearm at a person. The customer, Arthur Hill, says he stopped at the barbershop on his way to work and asked him, just get a shave.
I asked, I said, are you referring to African-American people? His response was, yeah. And at the time, I noticed that he already had his hand gripped on a .38 snub-nosed chrome revolver.
Oh, God.
I was shocked. Shocked for my life. Because I'm thinking, this could have been me laid on the floor, dead. He did not point it at me, but it was clear in sight, like he meant business.
That's an overreaction.
Thomas told reporters that he doesn't do black hair because he didn't know how.
I always have a gun right here, but I felt threatened because that man came walking into back here where I was. I felt threatened by them, and I picked up the gun, and I had it down here by my side. I mean, I've had black people come in the door before, and I tell them, I say, I don't do black haircuts.
Oh, my God. There's so much wrong there. I don't know what's going on.
All right, and finally, checking in at
number one.
Now, you know, some people like to think they know what's going on in the news when they actually don't. And the guy who's really made he's made a killing on this is Jimmy Kimmel. They love putting that theory to the test with lie witness news. Last night, they got people's reaction to Donald Trump's choice for vice president. Listen to this.
What did you think about his controversial decision to tap Gary Busey, former Apprentice castmate and beloved celebrity, as his VP?
I think it's the biggest joke that ever happened in the entire country in history.
Where were you when you saw that insane press conference where Gary Busey slapped Donald right as he was making the announcement?
I was at home this morning watching it on the news with a dropped jaw.
Yeah, who was watching it with you?
It was just me and my dog.
Oh, cool.
I love when they do this. Yeah. But I can't tell if they really don't know or if they just want to be on TV, so they'll say anything. I mean, come on. Gary Busey is a VP?
Yes. I could see it, though.
You do?
Yes. I think that's his only hope of getting past Hillary. All right, here we go. I'm just trying to taunt him into it. Goad him into it.
The top five at five.